From Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.
Where we're exploring the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser, and we'd like to thank you for joining us again. And
I'm Darren Howlett, as always. And today we have sitting with us Nancy Ferry, the Mustard Lady. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in today.
Okay.
We're very interested to have you here and talk a little bit about mustard. And sort of, we just wanted to know, how did you get into the mustard world?
Well, I'm not a ketchup person.
Okay.
That's a good start.
Yeah. Excellent start there.
I like mustard and just wanted to try new things. Like the plain, ordinary mustard is just kind of blah.
Right.
Right.
So I was experimenting. I was giving some as gifts.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And to my girlfriend's husbands. And then when I retired from my other business, they asked me to, or they said, why don't you try markets?
Oh, yeah.
So I tried small venue and I had 5 to start with. And now I've got 11.
Wow.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And I know I've brought some into the restaurant because I have a little thing for horseradish.
Yeah.
And you have a wonderful horseradish mustard, which has been going over quite well for us. And we've been incorporating it into a whole bunch of different dishes. And I just think it's fun. And I think it's nice to have this local product and as a condiment, you know, that we kind of don't always think about and understand.
No.
So,
but I mean, it's as varied and nuanced as. And I mean, as any other sort of elaborate or intricate condiment, I like in the vein of chutneys, you know, chutney can describe a million different types of things. Same with mustard. Mustard, there's quite a variation in there, quite a range of what you can do with it.
Yeah.
So what drew you to it then? You said you're not a ketchup person, but what possessed you to go from not acknowledging that you don't like ketchup to producing mustards?
I just have mustard on a lot of things.
Yeah. So you were making it at home for yourself? And then
And well, our first one I started was the mini fruited, which is almost like a chutney.
Right.
As a glaze on ham.
Oh, yeah.
Something different than pineapple.
Yeah.
Right.
And that took off really well. That was my mom's favorite.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it smells so good when you're cooking it, too. So. just experimenting with different things. Some have failed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And some have been too hot that I had to chuck.
Right.
I mean, at first when I did the hot pepper mustard, it would just be a little sample I'd taste. Now I can take a spoon and it's
not that.
Right. You know, it's got good flavor. It's sweet at the beginning and that's got a kick at the end.
Oh, nice.
So, but the horseradish mustard, yeah, it's still the number one favorite. And I even put it on poached eggs.
Do you really?
So, yeah.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah.
I would do that. I would put mustard on everything.
Yeah.
I do.
No, I'm like you. I have a weak spot for horseradish too, but I love mustard, and yeah, I'm behind it. I'm all for trying new things.
So basically, you just came to this just by trial and error. Is that sort of how it all came to be? So
kind of, and it's just progressed. You know, a little market here and there, and then find out about more, and then I've got quite a following now.
Right.
Well, do you mind me asking, how much mustard do you produce?
Hundreds of jars a week, I guess.
Or really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I try to keep a good inventory.
Yes.
On that, because I'm wholesaling.
Right. It's a product that keeps, so it's to have a little backup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot more than I would have anticipated.
Well, if a case is 12, there's 12 in a case, so yeah.
Wow. But,
and I quadruple and 5 times the recipe for some.
Right.
So if I'm going to make one, I may as well make a whole batch.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. So how long have you been doing this now?
3 years.
Is it 3 years? Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And you found that people are really grasping onto it and are excited about it? And
yeah. I've got, there's one fellow up Macaulay Road that I call him Mr. Horseradish because he buys like 3 at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Or more. And actually, Allison's friend, he really likes the hot pepper, and he did it as a glaze on his pizza crust for his Hawaiian pizza last week. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice.
So I'll have to try that. I'm not a Hawaiian pizza like, but that might be really good.
Yeah.
Wow, so are you finding a lot of people are bringing recipes and ideas of different things to do with your mustards?
Some are.
Yeah.
There's a good recipe that a halibut fisherman, it's on my website.
Okay.
Using panko and the horseradish, but you can use the ancient grain. You can use almost any of them, and it's really good.
Really? Wow.
And for the garlic festival on August 7th, I'm going to make a special honey garlic mustard.
Nice.
So yeah.
We actually did that on some ribs with work with the horseradish. Oh. Yeah, we took a little horseradish and did some honey and some garlic and just glazed some pork ribs with that. The smoked pork ribs, they were delicious.
Yeah.
I'm like, we shouldn't give these to the customers. I think we may have to keep these for ourselves.
Maybe for the staff.
Well, I've been coming up with recipes, and I'll look at something, and if it just says a Dijon or something, I figure out, okay, I'll use one of my, like my herb or something like that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's what we should really talk about right now. Let's talk about the different mustards you have. I'm sorry, you had how many?
11.
11.
11. I had this on top of my tongue, and I was like, Anyway, so 11. So let's start off. We've talked about the horseradish one for sure. And what other ones have you got?
Well, ancient grains. It's black mustard seed, so it's got a bit of a kick to it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't selling much for a while, and then all of a sudden it's picking up. But then the markets are getting, there's more markets happening right now. Yeah.
And ancient
like
grains.
Like farmers markets and what have you. You're finding people are responding to it better.
Yeah. They're also more of a trendy food right now. Like people are going back and looking at some of those different grains and sort of.
And the Oktoberfest, which I'm going to have to switch the name to Bavarian Gold.
Mm. Okay.
But it's a grainy mustard as well. And it's got brown sugar and cinnamon.
So it's a little bit sweeter.
It's a little bit sweeter, but it's got a bit of a kick too. It's really nice.
Okay. What do you recommend that one with?
Bratwurst.
That's just me. Give me a tub of mustard and some sausages and I'm in heaven. So.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a friend of mine used hers with the pulled pork that she made. I hadn't tried it. I didn't get invited. But Well, she likes experimenting with food, too. She's a real foodie.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
And her favorite is the hot pepper.
Okay.
And
so we've got ancient grain, horseradish.
The herb is really good.
Herb?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of herbs are in there? Is that a
tarragon
secret?
Tarragon is, there's about six of them.
Okay.
And tarragon is the most
That's the most profile there.
Yeah.
Right?
So it is quite green.
Tarragon's, I think you know that tarragon is my favorite herb. Absolutely. Anything with tarragon in it, I'm in.
Well, the new one I tried, the new on chicken, it was... with maple syrup stuff.
Oh.
I just did that last week, and it was really good.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah. I should have stopped it too, but I...
Yeah.
Because I did it on chicken thighs.
Okay. I mean, maybe I'm backpedaling a bit here, but maybe you can explain just some of the fundamentals or the basics about mustard. What exactly is mustard? It's more or less follows one or two ratios or one or two patterns.
Well, it's a seed, like it's a big plant. In BC, most of the greens are grown for the, or most of the plants are grown for the greens.
Right.
Because it takes four plants to get a tablespoon of mustard.
You're kidding.
Seed.
Wow.
So it's all grown in Saskatchewan, Alberta.
Right. Wow. Yeah, because I know a lot of people here that grow mustard greens, but they're growing them for the greens.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I buy the black mustard seed and the white mustard seed, and then I the powder.
Right.
Because I can't get it fine enough with the blender I have. So.
Right.
I like the lemon mustard. Still has it's ground, but it's not overly fine, and it's really nice. A good salad dressing with salads and.
Okay.
So you introduce an acid or vinegar?
Either white wine vinegar or red wine vinegar.
Right. And you probably use a variation of both, or you have versions that use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And it's really that simple. And then you bring in your flavors, your aromatics, or whatever.
And the honey mustard, like the honey I mix with the.
Right.
And that's using the mustard powder.
Right.
But the more you cook it, like it also thickens, but it takes away the heat.
Right.
Too. And also with a mango mustard, it's really a touch and go with that. Because I have to process it.
Yeah.
So it takes away the heat.
Right.
When it's almost too hot to taste, I have to stop cooking it, put it in cold water. I'm learning.
Right.
Everything's but it still tastes good even if it doesn't have that much heat.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's different. But, and the two sun-dried tomatoes. One's a grainy sun-dried, which is definitely more tomatoey. It's good on a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
And the Dijon sun-dried tomato.
Right.
It's actually picking up in, it's getting more popular too.
Wow. So, that's fantastic.
And the many fruited. Yeah. I mentioned that. So
yeah. Sorry, John.
I was going to say I ran out of fingers.
Yeah, I ran out of fingers. I think we hit about 9 or 10. I think everybody, if we've missed one or two, everybody's just going to have to look for you on the shelves and discover which ones we forgot.
Yeah. Well, I have a website and I'm on Facebook.
Oh, perfect. Well, then people can find you that way. We'll get to that too in a minute. But where can people find you? How far have you gotten to?
I'm in the process of getting nutritional labels. I've got the barcodes are all done.
Oh yeah.
And I've got to get the French part put on my nutritional labels.
Right.
Probably not so much for BC, but anyway.
So you have plans on expanding beyond BC?
Well, possibly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So we'll see.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, we love talking. I always feel that strong sense of community the minute I hear of another food producer that's producing something for the Valley, but then, you know, moving out throughout those borders. It's like, it's just great to see our Comox Valley products moving out to the world at large, you know.
The farthest mine's gone is Switzerland.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his mom lives in Toronto, and he actually found me on the website, and I knew his mom. It was very funny the way it worked, but...
Oh, wow.
He just found me on the website.
Wow.
And then he said, send it to this place in Toronto. And turns out I knew her, so yeah.
You're kidding. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Small world, eh?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Wow. So is that a service that you offer? Is you do offer to send out, or is that that just sort of one of those situations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
kind of. Because he could afford to pay the shipping, but it is like the jars are heavy and the postage is pretty high. So
yeah.
Because of the weight.
I have another business interest where there's a lot of shipping going on, and sometimes it's astronomical to send something so small. Yeah. So I can understand why you'd hold off on that for sure.
Well, sometimes I send it by bus. It depends. Like there's a lady in Northern Ontario, the bus doesn't go there. So she's waiting till she comes out here to pick it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So because that actually wasn't too bad. I have sent it by bus to Red Deer, Victoria.
Wow.
And stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's great. That's great that there's such a demand for it. That's fantastic.
And there's, like, I'm at the Helby Hall Market usually on Mondays, and there's a lot of tourists that come. Like, last summer, there was a lot of different people that were picking it up and that from the mainland and other places.
Oh, wow. So. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I obviously, it's going successfully enough that you're moving forward, trudging forth, expanding.
Yeah, I'm too young to retire. I am I retired from my other business, but I just can't stop doing. I have to do something.
Oh, right. That's great.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah, that is. That's great.
It's a great, great story. I love chatting with you. I was just thinking, what was I thinking about? I had this like thought about just like, where are you producing it?
Mm. Usually at Cloves.
At Cloves, So you rent some kitchen space there and do the production there.
And then Manoja, she's thinking of getting a bigger kitchen, so I may go there because then I don't have to cart everything back and forth.
Oh, okay. Because
it's heavy.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that from our past experiences that, you know, being able to produce something is quite difficult, and especially with all the regulations and following along that it's nice that you can find a kitchen to share with someone else to start a product like this and grow it from there. So that's wonderful that you made that connection. So
yeah, absolutely. Especially, I mean, not to turn this into that conversation, but I was really disappointed to see like Lush Valley close, just because that was one of those community kitchens that a lot of people were able to, you know, use as a springboard for their small businesses. And I would really like to see who is able to sort of pick up that slack.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good that you're in somewhere secured then.
Well, if we could get a community one for a whole bunch of us. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to do that.
I hear there's a lot of people trying to put it together.
Yeah.
And I think it's just finding the right funds and organizing it and staying on top of it. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sort of if it looked like a former home ec.
Yeah, no, area, exactly.
You know, we each have our own little pod, kind of. It does cost.
I've always had a dream of building my own little demonstration kitchen and cooking school, which you could have little, basically a home ec, home ec class that you could just bring people in and bring in some local products, and you could run at that and have people do their own projects and do their own food there, and just be able to be a little supervisor. But
Yeah.
I never have the funds to do that. So
it's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
It's off in the distance.
And I like really expensive kitchen equipment. So
I remember when you first brought up the idea and you first put it forth when we were first talking about that, and you were saying, We'll do this. It's not going to cost that much. And then you're saying, and each one of these little kitchen installations will have this, 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 and this. And you're like, I think we're up to like 250,000 or 300,000 now. yeah, this isn't going to happen right now. this is down the road.
I'm like, we can get some credit cards.
yeah, win the lottery.
Yeah.
That's great, though. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm glad that you're able to come in and sit with us and talk about, you know, your Comox Valley product. We love hearing stories like this. We love talking to people like this. And I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you.
What's your next step before we sign off? What's happening? What's your very next move?
Well, tomorrow night I'm down in Magnolia. It's in Bowser. The strip mall.
Okay.
And I checked it out last week just to see. And yeah, so I'm going down there. And then July 1st, I'm at Lewis Park.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And my daughter's going to... She posted today that she's going to drive the van in the parade.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
She did that 2 years ago.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah.
And, so then we want posters made for the side to tell them I'm at Lewis Park.
Right.
Because last year was the first time I got to enjoy the parade and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well,
great.
I'd been in the parade different times with other groups.
Or else
at Lewis Park. But,
right.
Yeah.
And so you'll have product there available for people to buy.
And to test.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, I believe in letting them taste test before they buy.
That's the best way to sell.
I remember when you brought us samples. You probably gave them to John and we sampled them. But yeah, you brought a whole range. Everything there. I'm like, oh yeah, all right, I'm going to try these out. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, and then on the 2nd, I'm back here in Cumberland at the Village Square.
Oh, yeah.
So,
right.
Market days
right.
on the 5th. And yeah.
Wow, you're everywhere.
Lots of things going on. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, there's, if you're looking for the Mustard Lady, there are some places that you'll find her in the next few days.
And if you could give us your email address and website and all that information or contact information, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, it's great taste at themustardlady.ca.
Okay.
And themustardlady.ca.com.
Yeah, great.
I've got about 3.
And do you have a Facebook page?
Mustard Lady Facebook, yeah.
Perfect. That's easy.
So, yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. And thank you for coming.
Can I say, there's one thing, too. If somebody buys from me, I have a gift card that if you buy 6, you get the 7th free.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to buy them all at once.
Perfect. Nice.
And, so I've had a few that have filled the whole thing out. It's got 3 rows. And,
good.
And I do gift baskets and, you know, different things for...
Perfect.
Not just Christmas, birthdays and whatever. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Awesome. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. And we'll, I guess we'll wrap the show up.
That's right. Well, thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. And don't forget to check out our sponsors. And thank you very much for listening. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and subscribe and add comments for us on things you'd like to hear and do with the Edible Valley.
All right. Thanks.
The Atlas Cafe, celebrating 20 years in the Comox Valley. Globally inspired, locally sourced.
Do you like chocolate? I like chocolate.
IvansTruffles.com.